everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episodes are Season 6, Episode 25, MP Confidential, and Episode 26, The Nasty Minded Professor. Yeah, voice work. And now, here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. We did it. Almost.
We are almost done, and I hesitate to, I'll save it for the end. There's good news now because this season is shorter than usual, but there's bad news ahead, and you can probably guess what. But for now, before we get into it, we want to tell you what's happening on the Patreon, episode 148, dropping June 16th. Let's watch Shannon Doherty in Magnum P.I. This little sass mouth, she was 12 years old. She plays with some dogs. She's so cute. We'll talk about it. You can watch it on Freevee. It's season 4, episode 8, A Sense of Debt. The numbering on their site is fucked up because Amazon is very bad at running a streaming service. According to them, it's season 4, episode 71, which I assume was its number overall, but just hit the link in the show notes. It'll take you right there. No subscription is required because that is Freevee's whole thing. And you can find that at againwiththispodcast.com/club. All right. Start with our B plot. Jennifer accelerates her scheming to break up Sam and Billy. We saw Sam close the last episode by very aggressively restaking her claim on Billy, and this one opens the same night as she then sneaks up to Jennifer's place, having presumably fucked him. Jennifer opens the door in a black camisole and shorty shorts set, which is very cute. You can see the visual aids. Sam snarks about her expecting a dude, and Jennifer jokes that she's beating them away with a stick these days, which, like, it's not credible. She would be tending bar at the jazz club every night and not get hit on constantly.
Yeah, seriously.
But she covers up as Sam just barrels past her inside to say she's all about Billy now. Her affair was almost as big a mistake as discussing it with Jennifer. And she talks around what she witnessed in the courtyard earlier, which is Jennifer and Billy kissing, but her meaning is clear even before she adds she and Billy just fucked, so his eye's not going to be wandering anymore. And I don't know why Jennifer would bother coming outside after her to yell down that it's great news, but she does, and the actual reason is so she can see Michael going into Taylor's with his doctor bag, but we will get to that. And when we see Jennifer next, she's arriving at Jeff's weird cabin in a dangerously high-slit miniskirt to say she knows all about the affair. It is, please go to the visual aids because it is crazily high. It's like almost her entire leg is visible.
Yeah.
Also crazy, in this scene, you can see that one of the other pieces of decor at Jeff's place is a fucking barber pole on the wall. Where did they find this house? Like, I don't get it.
Right? Or it was just like prop storage and they didn't get everything out. So it's just like, it looks like American Pickers threw up in there. It's really dumb.
It's too much. So when Jeff mopes that he and Sam broke up, Jennifer says he just scared Sam with all his marriage talk, but Sam still loves him. And she regrets the breakup, doesn't know how to tell him that. And if he and Sam can just get into a room together, things will take care of themselves and Jennifer will make it happen. And some number of days later, Jennifer and Billy are somewhere. Clip two.
Us getting together, so much of that was about Sam being aloof. And now Sam's not being aloof anymore.
Billy, it's stop. Like, don't say another word.
I wish.
Yeah.
This is what she wanted. Go fuck Jeff. He was already vulnerable. He was right there in his weird house.
Seriously. Or, like, someone go with Jeff.
Yeah.
And get off the show. Jennifer, because you deserve better than these boneheads that they're insisting you pretend you're attracted to. Mm-hmm. Or Sam, because, like, you don't get to be boring and a bitch.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it is with it right now. Like, pick one of them and beat it. Please.
Yep. Please. Instead, Jennifer just begs Billy not to shut the door on the two of them. He pouts that he doesn't deserve this, but briefly lets her kiss him anyway. Wow, magnanimous, before taking off back to work. Meanwhile, at work, Jeff finds Sam. She whines that she's rededicating herself to her marriage. He'll stop pushing so hard and do whatever she says as long as he can stay in her life. They just have to stop hiding and running around. But she tearfully says it is stopped. And if he leaves tonight, he's gone forever, he says. Doesn't matter how slow he backs away from her, she tells him she's not going to stop him. And it is very funny that he's like, 3, 2, 2.5. Like, but he eventually does leave. Her face crumbles. And the next night at the jazz club, Jeff reports to Jennifer about failing with Sam, despite repeating an entire script that Jennifer apparently supplied for him. He's ready to give up, but Jennifer says they can have dinner and figure out a plan B. And wouldn't you know it, they're giggling over their dessert when Sam and Billy walk in. Clip 3.
What are they doing together? Do they even know each other?
I don't know. It's bizarre. Maybe we should go over. Don't you think? I mean, Jeff was my campaign.
Yeah, let's see what's going on.
Billy, Sam, it's been a long time. How you guys doing?
Jen, I didn't know that you knew Jeff.
Oh, just met tonight, actually, upstairs. And Jeff offered to buy me dinner. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's nice.
Guess it's that small world thing.
Don't let us interrupt. You guys have a great dinner. Sam, I think our table's over here. Did you know they were going to be here?
No, I had no idea. But let's use it, why don't we? I mean, what better plan B than to make Sam jealous?
Just ignore them. Right, we'll just pretend they're strangers.
Oh, you're absolutely right. What do we care whether Jennifer and Jeff start something up?
Yeah, you don't
like,
care.
It is not credible that Billy still would not get it
no.
at this point. Like, even Billy mm-hmm. has to have figured it out, but no. No.
No.
That way it can drag on even longer.
Yeah. Yay. Especially since our cover is like, we should go say hi. He was my account. Like, oh, is that what we're calling it?
Is that what we're calling it now? Can't spell it with that. Well, okay. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, so she's like, we don't care. Anyways, gotta go to the can immediately right now, and does, and has barely even seen that it's Jennifer behind her when she launches in. Clip 4.
You want to explain this? What, you're dating Jeff Baylor, the man that you know I'm having an affair with?
You said it was over with Jeff.
That makes him fair game. And besides, if you're really trying to make your marriage work with Billy, isn't it easier if Jeff is also occupied?
It's just a little weird, okay?
So are you telling me to stop?
No, I'm questioning your motives.
Oh, boy, Sam. You've been doing a lot of that lately. My motives toward Billy, my motives toward Jeff.
Oh, you are trying to land Jeff.
I'm gonna ignore that ridiculous fish metaphor and ask, why? Are you jealous?
No.
I say yes. I also say that you're not as over Jeff as you think. I'm sorry, Sam. You can't have both of them. Wording all of the men for yourself just is selfish.
You better Jeff. Stop it. And you better stop it right now, because you are messing with me, and I don't like it.
Well, I don't like being manhandled.
Especially not by a woman.
So, if you'll excuse me, I'm going back to dinner.
Oh, you mean leftovers?
Ooh. Don't you ever... ever talk to me that way again.
Fuck yeah.
I also like, I don't like being manhandled, especially when it's by a woman. Like, occasionally you get a line for Jennifer where it's like, oh yeah, she grew up in the same house as Michael Mancini for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. like that felt like a very Michael line and delivery.
Yeah.
The next night, Billy meets Jennifer at the marina for no reason to complain some more about Sam's constant mood swings. Jennifer says that Billy runs hot and cold with Jennifer in exactly the same way. He says Jennifer's the only person he can trust, and frantic kissing ensues. And at the agency the next day, Sam overhears Amanda telling an underling to collect what they're owed on the Baylor account ASAP. Sam asks what's up. Well, first of all, it's the Fleet Sporting Goods account, so Billy kept reminding us. But what Amanda actually says is Jeff's knee is officially mush. And she figured he would have already told Sam that by now. When Sam gets upset, Amanda correctly guesses that their fling became true love, but Sam chokes that they're just good friends. And as Sam starts to cry, Amanda tells her to stick with Billy because there's nothing worse than a washed-up jock. Sarah, leaving Billy out of this. Is that accurate?
Yes. I mean, it's not great, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I married an actor, so what do I know, really?
Yes. We said leave it aside for now, but Sam can't. It's Billy. It's Billy. That night, Jeff's back in his weird house. Sam's arrived just in time to see him boxing up all his baseball trophies. He doesn't really know what he's going to do now, like maybe coach high school or college. And when she says that sounds good, he snaps that he was a major league player. When?
What?
When? No. Thank you. Okay. I was like, did I miss it? Because when we met him, he was a minor league player who was just a hot prospect. And then it was spring training. Did they even bother to make up a fake team for him to play on? Because I don't think they did.
No, I don't think they did either. Mm. And he didn't even get to spring training before hurting himself, as far as I can tell.
I think it was like the first day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sam snits, she'll just go. But Jeff apologizes. It's hard letting go. Sam's bad at that herself. Wow, we sure got off his life-changing injury and back onto Sam in a hurry. But he's fine with it and says he needs her, and they hug and kiss. Over to the jazz club. Billy tells Jennifer no matter how clingy Sam gets, he doesn't feel anything for her anymore. And to the writers and editors, she's definitely not clingy now. Like, we saw her smooching all over her old side piece one scene ago. Like, please talk to each other a little when you're writing these episodes. All Billy and Jennifer can think about is each other. And Amanda's watching all of this from across the dance floor. And when Jennifer slips out, dragging a hand across Billy's butt right before Billy follows her, Amanda goes after them. And as is typical, Billy and Jennifer's kissing is so loud that Amanda can hear them through a closed door and down the hall. So then she opens that door and is like, clip five.
Didn't your parents ever teach you to knock?
Oh, they were too busy cheating on each other. And while we're on that subject, next time you use Kyle's office to grope, you should probably lock the door.
Look, Amanda, we'd appreciate it if you would keep this to yourself.
Oh, you think I'd say something to your little wife? No. Besides, something tells me that she doesn't give a damn what you're doing, or with whom.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you have so much to learn, Billy boy. Bartender, when you're through servicing Mr. Campbell, Rory and I could use a round of drinks.
Finally. Yeah. Please, move this forward. Even Amanda's like, it's enough already. So the next morning at the mailboxes at the complex, Billy walks right past Jennifer on his way out to work, not acknowledging her. So she is forced to chase him and ask if everything's all right. And he's like, sure, whatever. She thinks Amanda's going to say something, but Billy says she won't disrupt things at work. Jennifer pouts that there's something else. So Billy wrong faces. You can see the visual aids that Amanda made it seem like she knew Sam was having an affair. Oh, my God, dude. One-celled organisms know this. Like, it's the least kept secret. Ask anyone in the Baylor family. They're all going to say Sam is the future Mrs. Baylor. Jennifer says Amanda just wanted to rattle Billy, but suddenly Billy's noticing there are pieces and getting close to putting them together. Like, did Sam ever give Jennifer any indication? Did she? I'm just not sure. And when Jennifer and Jeff had dinner, did he say anything about his love life? Nope. Clip six.
Billy, you don't think Samantha and Jeff Baylor are... That is so crazy.
I don't know what to think. She's always... been fascinated by the guy.
Well, now that you mention it, there was a thing there.
What?
But God, Billy, I don't believe that Sam would hurt you. You're too perfect. Now, whatever is going on, I want you to know that you can count on me. I'm not going anywhere.
Go somewhere.
Why not? Anywhere. Anywhere.
Yeah.
It's Billy.
Her waving goodbye to him from behind the gate is a bit on the nose in this moment, by the way.
Yeah.
So later, Billy comes down to the Little League game that Jeff is coaching, and he is coaching hard. Clip seven.
Heads up. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Good job. Good job. All right. All right. Let's go, guys. That's the way. Good job. You got him now. You got him now, guys. Heads up now. Come on. Let's go. Plays it home. All right, Ronnie. Think Kofax. One more. Let's go. Let's go, Ronnie. Come on.
This is like if the writer's room told ChatGPT to do dugout chatter. Or actually, Brian Austin Green in her pissy affair would also do an equally good job, by which I mean it would be terrible. Oh, my God. Like, variations take a breath, wait for something to happen that you're actually responding to. Like, yeah. Gautier is, this is not Gautier's fault, but, and I felt bad for him, and I have felt bad for him throughout, because he is trying to project a facsimile of being attracted to the most boring and also bitchy person in the cast,
yes,
besides Jamie Luner. But yeah, this is just, like, I ran it back a couple of times. Like, he doesn't even breathe in there. So, come on, come on. Kennedy, 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 swing, bada.
Also, think Koufax. These are Little League players. It's 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. He'd been retired for 30 years by then already, I think.
I thought you were going to say he'd been dead, which I would have also believed.
But I think he's maybe still not dead.
Oh, gosh.
I think he's one of those that, like, occasionally they show him at Chavez Ravine and you're like, oh, you're alive. Also, you were a great pitcher. You keep talking. I'm going to look that up.
Good for him. So Billy has arrived just in time to see Sam fully make out with Jeff in broad daylight with a bunch of small children and their parents around. But if Jeff doesn't care about that, Billy doesn't either. He storms up and punches Jeff in the face. Clip 8.
Sleeping with my wife?
All right, look, this isn't the place.
Answer the question.
Yeah, I am. I love her, okay? There's nothing you can do about
Billy, stop it!
Damn!
She gets knocked over.
Somebody call an ambulance! Get out of
here! You okay? You okay?
She okay? Sam?
How can you tell, first of all, second of all, the Little Leaguers lurching up onto the backstop fence to see the tea getting literally spilled on the ground was my favorite moment of the episode?
Yes. Was very world star before world star. She gets knocked down in the melee and, like, gets knocked out, I guess. And so later, Billy and Jeff are both uncomfortably waiting at the hospital while Sam gets treated. Clip 9.
The hell is taking so long?
Why don't you take it somewhere else, all right?
Look, I have every right to be.
Shut up. I don't want to hear your self-righteous crap.
Hey, I care about her, okay? And this isn't something we set out to do. It just happened. I'm just as concerned as you are.
You're the reason she's in the hospital in the first place.
Everything's fine. They used your way in her life. Hey, Doc. How's my wife?
Is she okay?
I think you better let her tell you that herself.
I'm fine. Right?
She has a mild concussion. A few days rest should take care of that, though. At the moment, all she needs is for someone to drive her home.
Jeff. I have to go home with my husband.
Billy. His name is Billy.
Yeah. Just to break up predictable boredom of the storyline with some co-facts.
Oh, nice.
I was correct that his last game was 1966, so he would have been retired for 30 years at that point. And he is, as of this writing, alive, 87 and one half years old, and alive.
Wow.
And he's still kind of cute, actually.
Get him a reality hosting job instead of Shatner. He's a spry 3 years younger.
Yeah, I bet you could make a pitch for that. Okay,
hey.
I'm going to stop now.
So the next morning, Billy is ice cold as he brings Sam coffee on his way out to work. She wants to talk. He doesn't have time. She says she never meant to hurt him. And he says, clip 10.
Good for you.
Okay, look, cheating is wrong if that's what you and your partner have agreed on. But you also cheated. Like, you don't have the moral high ground here, you fucking bitch. Like, and there was another guy who was totally prepared to look after Sam today. So Billy should just fuck off if he's going to be like this, especially after his macho shit basically gave her this concussion in the first place. And I don't know why Sam isn't like, I fully saw you making out with Jennifer.
Yeah.
Except that the writers forgot.
Like, either we reset this or we don't. I agree. Also, that good for you was the wrong face.
Yeah.
How? In the space of 3 words, can you not find the right face for this? This is like the first soap opera face that everyone learns. Babies can do this line delivery.
Yep.
But it's Billy.
It's Billy. And in the courtyard, Jennifer tells Billy she heard what happened and asks after Sam. Billy says Jennifer can go ask her how she is. Clip 11.
It's true, isn't it? I could see it in your eyes. Sam is having an affair with Jeff Baylor.
Why don't you go spread that around the whole courtyard, all right? And then everybody will know what a heap my life has become.
I'm really sorry, Billy. I don't know what to say, except... I'm here for you.
I just need to be left alone. Can you understand that?
I can. Goodbye. We never have to talk again. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like,
New Jersey is awaiting your return.
How do two different women want to bone this guy? I mean, one and a quarter, given Sam's level of interest, but still. Like,
yeah,
he's such a dick. Moving on to our A plot. Doctors face huge life changes while Rory helps Amanda punish herself. Jennifer is still outside watching Sam go back to her place in the middle of the night, as we already discussed, when she sees Michael heading for Taylor's. Jennifer lets Michael know that she sees him, and he tells her to mind her own business. And as he helps Taylor get settled on the couch, we find out she called him because she was having pain, but she feels better. She realizes now how wrong she was when she was pretending to be pregnant to Peter and Kyle, and she really wants this baby that is real. And Michael smiles goofily while examining her and then gives her the stethoscope to hear the baby's steady heartbeat. And I don't know if it's because this was around the time that, like, Thomas Calabro was Broody himself, but he is so cute with the baby stuff with Taylor. Like, I'm sorry, but he is to me.
These two are cute. Like, Michael has been completely defanged at this point. So It's like all the sort of fun stuff about Michael being a schemer and none of the bad stuff.
Yes, I agree. After the credits, we are required to witness Megan and Coop in bed as she begs him not to go to work. He lists all the shit he has to deal with, including Michael's lawsuit, so that's happening. And while he's on the way to the shower, Dr. Lerner calls. Since he's a pig, I'm not going to apologize for calling him Lerner last time, but that is not, in fact, his name. It's Lerner. Anyway, Megan is completely friendly and normal on the phone, as though he did not sexually harass her the last time she saw him. It's also not good news, as she says, that they want to fly Coop to Philadelphia for the last round of interviews, because that's what he told them on his way out of town. It's not news at all. He very seriously tells her she must come with Coop because it will help him to have a woman at his side. She can't wait and goes straight in to tell Coop the not news, which he reacts to like he's never heard it before either. Over to the new condo, Lexi is purring around the kitchen, trying not to notice that Peter is mad about the lawsuit, Coop probably moving away, etc. She tells Peter to ask Coop to stay, but Peter knows he has nothing to offer him. As the owner of Coop's pharmaceutical company, Lexi says, she could forbid him. Okay, since fucking when? It's a pharmaceutical company. They make medical hardware, and I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah. Also, did we just forget about the, are we just not thinking about the codicil in the will?
Right. I guess.
I don't know if the writers decided to forget about it since Coop was like, ixnay, or if it's going to come back later. Also, I don't care, and I don't want to have to think about it because I keep hoping that a bunch of these people are just going to leave the show.
Yep. Indeed. Peter would not want Lexi to do anything she doesn't want to do with regard to forbidding Coop from leaving the state, but Lexi is on it. And then Kyle is on his way out of the complex when Taylor pops out of her place to try to flirt with him. And he takes a second to remember he's pretending to be nice to her right now, which was kind of funny. Before he escapes, she says she misses his cooking. Hint taken, he offers to cook for her at the restaurant, has barely taken three steps before he runs almost directly into Jennifer to reset the plot, which is he is scheming against Taylor and Jennifer is sort of helping but sort of feeling guilty about it. At the agency, Amanda's hungover. Sam assumes that she was with Rory, who, based on what we've seen, Sam would have had no opportunity to see or know about, but Amanda snits that while she was alone, next time she will have him over since he is good at reminding her how fucked up her life is. And Sam then lets herself into Amanda's office and closes the door to recommend Amanda see a psychiatrist because Rory's a creep and Amanda's still married to Kyle. And Amanda rightly notes that Sam can't critique anyone else on fidelity, but Sam waves that off and orders Amanda to stop punishing herself over this Christine thing, which again, as far as we know, is the Christine thing of putting yourself on train tracks to get fatally smushed.
Yeah. With all the juicy SFX that implies, and Amanda thinking that she caused it. So,
right.
You know, It's not like she ate the last donut in the break room. Okay.
No.
Although that's bullshit also. And if you're doing that, you should feel guilty. Replace things that you finish. Thanks.
Hard agree. Amanda's closing note on that is someone has to punish her and Sam should fuck off. And I agree with half of that. That night at Kyle's, Taylor and Kyle dine in the kitchen. She's dying to know what the next course is, but it's a secret. He knows she likes secrets. In fact, he can tell that she's keeping one right now. Well, if loving him is a secret, she's guilty as charged. It's not that. It's also not a secret. And also, yeah, as no. you can see in the visual aids, the secret is she is like 5 months pregnant. And
yeah, the secret visible. Is at the halfway point of that. That album is almost at the halfway point of getting ready to drop. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Just then, Jennifer appears with the champagne that Kyle asked for, and breathily, Taylor declines. And Kyle urges her to have some because she loves champagne, and though he is oblivious to what Taylor is hinting at here, Jennifer visibly is not. And Kyle then says Taylor's been working too hard and they should hire some help, like maybe Nick, like she was suggesting recently. But now Taylor thinks Kyle was right, and Kyle pretends to back down. And then we're at the beach house, where Jennifer sneaks in and scares the shit out of a napping Michael before demanding to know what is going on with Taylor. Based on her various observations, Jennifer thinks that Taylor's pregnant, and Michael totally just confirms that she is, adding that he may be the father, by which Jennifer is completely unsurprised, which is kind of the best part. Like, oh, of course you are. He puts his head on her shoulder as he says that Jennifer's all he has left, and she sighs that there isn't a hole deep enough to keep a Mancini buried. Well, please, can we try it with Megan, though, just to see? Just to see.
Yeah, let's just test it.
Over to Amanda's as she, as promised, gets drunk with Rory. When he tries to fool around, she darts away. Doesn't she think they've gotten to know each other well enough to know each other better? She doesn't know, but then tells Rory to turn off the lights. But it's just so that she can see Kyle kissing Taylor goodnight outside of Taylor's door. But then Rory is right behind Amanda, and I guess that she's tipsy enough to kiss him after all. He hopes it means they're going somewhere, but she says it's goodnight, and he sidles out. The next day at her fake office of the pharmaceutical company, apparently, Lexi tries to use her fake job to forbid Coop from moving. He arm grabs her one more time for the road before shrugging that he'll just sell her his share of the company. And when she says she'll take it and strip it down to nothing, he obviously does not care because no one does. Like, does Jennifer still have a piece of this thing? I cannot keep track. It's so stupid.
Yeah. And then is it in this sequence where he's like, I did my little revenge number and it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, great. Move on then.
Yes.
But also, all of your scheming was very dumb, and then it just kind of, like, trailed off like fart in the breeze on the boardwalk. Like, okay, but then can it just be done? Can you be done, please?
Sadly, no. And on his way out, he promises to tell Peter that Lexi tried. And at the agency, Rory bursts into Amanda's office with some fake offer to get her into the fake futures business. She agrees so fast that even Billy is concerned about the risk, but then Rory sort of calls him an idiot, and my loyalties get all confused. Over to the practice, where Coop jokingly confronts Peter about Lexi's threats. Coop is faintly surprised that Peter's actually worried about Michael's lawsuit, because he thinks Peter should just settle and give Michael his job back. Coop's done with revenge. I guess it was this scene.
Yeah, I guess.
But also, you know, whatever. It's continuing to be done and boring and repetitive, like all of this is. At the beach house, Taylor uses a feather duster on the kitchen counter. Gross. Get bleach spray, you freak. It's not how you clean a kitchen. Food is there.
Yeah, she was dusting fruit. I was like, is now a good time for you to dust the tuna salad that's been sitting on the counter for like seasons as well? It's ill. Yeah,
the
gross.
Tuna. Damn.
Oh.
And have tuna for lunch. Taylor also brags about how great it's going with Kyle until Michael tells her to quit messing with his stuff. But it's her nesting instinct. She loves being pregnant. Clip 12.
Are we here?
You know, all those sixth and seventh senses, my instinct tells me that this has to be Kyle's child.
This coming from a woman who's batting 120 in the instinct department.
Michael, I was never really pregnant before. Wait a second.
You're right. I need proof before I can tell Kyle that this is his child.
You're just now figuring this out?
No more charades. You know what? I need a paternity test. Of course, Kyle can't know about it.
It's impossible. I mean, besides tests for you, I need to draw blood from Kyle, and that's not going to be easy to do without him knowing it. Unless you're a vampire. No.
Michael, anything's possible if you're determined enough.
Not making this interesting. Sorry.
But to that point, the unless you're a vampire, it's like maybe that's what could have gotten the show back on track in like a potential season 8. Like, just give us some charmed vibes. Like, at this point, who cares? She could be a vampire. It would not be surprising to me, really.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Exactly. Over to the jazz club, where Kyle is bragging about having Taylor where he wants her, but then Jennifer tells him about the pregnancy and the several potential father candidates. And Kyle immediately deflates and sinks into his desk chair because he's supposed to have dinner with Taylor that night. Now acting normal about it is gonna be hard. And in the very next scene, we rejoin them after said dinner as Taylor asks him to kiss her like he did the night before. And when he does, she bites him hard enough to draw blood and dabs it onto a hanky that she carefully tucks back into her purse, which, like, I don't think that would work now, never mind then. But
yeah,
okay.
I really don't think so, but sure. Like, if it keeps things moving along, which is more than I can say for most plots on this show in season 6, fine.
Yes.
Accept it. Objection sustained, I guess.
Indeed. But then Kyle has to pretend he's not upset, laughing genially until she turns away, and then he immediately drops his face, which was also kind of funny. And then at the beach house, Michael's dictating lawsuit stuff while chopping vegetables when Kyle shows up for information about Taylor's pregnancy. Hilariously, Michael claims he can't discuss patients, and instead of saying he already knows that Michael blabbed to Jennifer since that's whom he heard it from, Kyle just says he doesn't think that Michael's in a position to be that precious about it, given that he's broke and suing Peter, the last person in his profession who would maybe consider working with him. Clip 13.
Are we here to play Dr. Mancini, This Is Your Life, or is there something I can do for you, Kyle?
I need a paternity test right away, and I want the test results before anybody else, including Taylor.
So there's some question you're not the father?
I will pay you $2,000 for the test and your silence. You do need cash, am I right?
Yeah, but I'll take a check.
I already filled out. But first, I want you to tell me how the hell we're gonna do this without Taylor finding out. You need samples from her, right? Some blood from me?
Already got it. She dropped this off after your date. Now, I'll take that check if it's all right.
It's the blood sample.
Thank you.
I get the test results first. Or you are not going to live long enough to spend this money.
Okay, this is so dumb. Like, if Kyle is now volunteering to have this paternity test done, which I'm not even sure if they could do that in utero at this point either, but, like, why doesn't he just give a regular blood sample instead of Michael, like, scraping it off of a napkin? Like,
yeah.
What?
My question was, how does Kyle have all this bribe money in petty cash at the jazz club?
Mm-hmm.
It's the jazz club.
Yeah.
And also, based on later comments, is Amanda still a partner in the jazz club?
Apparently, I guess.
I'm so tired of saying jazz club.
I know.
It's much more fun to listen to you say it. Oh my God. Like, this, the show really just was like, let's just finish this and go lay down. Like, nobody cares about anything anymore.
Nope. Oh, there's more of that to come too. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Lexi finds Peter at the hospital. He spent the previous night in the on-call room. She guesses Coop talked to him, and he snits about her driving Coop to the opposite decision Peter wanted him to make. Lexi thinks Peter always needs something to be mad about, and he thinks she can't accept that he's not perfect. She's just like Amanda. Lexi snaps that maybe he is the issue, actually. Like, well, I don't know. You're worse than him. Honestly, he is bad.
Yeah.
Cut to the hospital in Philadelphia, where everyone is working overtime to convince us that it is cold and not just another part of the back lot that is still definitely in Los Angeles. Larner takes a break to creepily compliment Megan, who is still completely unbothered by him at this point in the episode. That night at the agency, Amanda thinks it's Rory who's come to see her while she's drinking vodka alone in her office. But no, it's Kyle, who immediately starts in on how many she's already had. Well, this is her fourth. Also, clip 14.
I'm waiting for my date. He should be here any second.
Man, I don't like this.
The dating or the drinking?
The whole picture.
Well, if you think this has anything to do with you or our problems, you're wrong. I don't miss you. I don't care if you miss me. We're bad for each other. I mean, when we're together, people die.
Come on, Amanda. Stop this. It's crazy. I've been working on this, and I'm on to something.
You mean on top of something, as in Taylor. But she's probably the one on top of you. Or do you guys take turns?
Damn it. Come on. You got this all wrong.
No, you're lonely. You're just putting a little grout between the tile. Don't worry. I'm doing the same thing. Oh, here he is now.
Good news, baby. Our ship just came in. 100% return on your money.
Oh, look at that. An investment that finally paid off. You know, I once invested in this jazz club. Right down the tubes. Big mistake.
You can say what you want. You can do what you want. It's not going to stop me from finding out the truth.
What truth? The one fact that you can't get through your thick head?
What's that? What, that you and I are bad together?
No, that I don't love you anymore. You're not even a good memory.
Okay. A few things. I don't enjoy this lengthy slough of despond thing that they're doing with Amanda. I don't think it's interesting. Heather Locklear is fine.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing well. Excellent, like, tipsy performance. Spot on. But, okay, problem number one is that it's Kyle.
Yes.
And no one cares. Problem number two is that she needs to get back together with Peter. I realize that I need to shut up about that, but
no.
I won't because no. They should. And Rory is like obviously disgusting. Like there's physically a slug trail behind him. It's not credible that even self-destructive mode Amanda would be interested in that mustard 70s shirt situation.
Yes. Yes.
But all of this is like, none of it is credible from that standpoint. And then there's absolutely no reason, even in a soap finale, for Kyle not just to be like, I think Taylor was up to something and that wasn't really Christine. Put a pin in it with Rory. Let me get some more information. Like, just tell her what you're doing.
Yeah. It's also hilarious that Kyle is even bothering to try to needle Amanda right now because in his next scene, he's at the hospital getting his paternity test results. And clip 15.
Well, you're not the father, Kyle. You're off the hook. Now, what do you want me to tell Taylor when she asks for these?
The truth, of course. I'll give you 10-1 odds. She's going to lie and say I'm the father anyway.
Oh, and that's when you'll lower the boom.
No, I'm going to lower the boom once she spills everything she knows about Nick and Christine.
Christine and Nick?
Never mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, now what's this for? You already paid me.
Double your feet and ensure your silence. See you, Mike.
Kyle, there is still the question of who the real father is.
As long as it's not me, I could care less.
Nurse, I'll take a look at sample B now, please.
Sure, I have it right here. Are you all right, doctor?
I'm fine. For a guy who just knocked up a lunatic.
Well, that's what happens when you do it off screen.
That's
no
right.
Accountability.
That's right. So in the next scene, Taylor's like four times as pregnant as she was having dinner with Kyle as she gets off the elevator.
She
like
totally is.
Womb
she
first.
The hand is like keeps fluttering down there, even though that's not the blocking.
Nope. Like, just raise the camera just a little. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard when she's on the move.
You just did
but
this for Locklear.
Yes,
you just did this. Figure it out.
You did. She stops Michael in the hall begging for the test results, so he quickly dashes all her hopes. Clip 16.
Sorry. No, Kyle's not the father.
Oh, damn. Oh, double damn. Well, wait. Are you the father?
Oh, no. I'm not the father either, Taylor.
Oh, God. Then that just leaves Nick. Oh, God, Michael. I'm carrying the demon seed. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh God.
God help us all.
I love that these soap opera characters are talking about their own plot line the way viewers would. Mm-hmm. It's like you're through the looking glass, but at least someone is trying to have a good time. I appreciate it.
Agree. So over to Amanda's, where she wakes up at the foot of the bed with Rory, who's telling her she was great last night. Duh. It's Amanda. Mm-hmm. After a weird kiss, she staggers to the can, stares at her reflection, and cries at what she's become. This can stop any time, lady. Telling the fuck off. It's not hard.
Seriously. Seriously.
Honestly, if you really want to punish yourself, get back together with Michael. That was fun. Well, it lasted. It was weird, but I was not into it.
Yeah. Or if you really want to punish yourself and us, get together with Lexi.
Oh. It would almost be interesting, but then it would be her, and then it wouldn't. Over to the hospital, where Michael wants to chat with Peter, who has to remind him that Michael is suing him, so they shouldn't even both be in the building at the same time. All this can be avoided if Peter just hires him back, Michael says. Peter yells about it some more. Michael starts to get alarmed, even before Peter shoves him up against the wall, babbling threats. And after a couple of orderlies pull them apart, we see the hospital shrink, Dr. Visconti, witnessed this whole thing, asks if maybe Peter would like to come talk to him this afternoon. And the faces Jack Wagner makes here are hilarious as he sarcastically asks Dr. Visconti if he thinks that Peter's having a nervous breakdown or something. And Dr. Visconti's like, yes. And then he does a surprised chipmunk to that one, too, which is great. At a reception at his place, Larner swoops up on Megan at the bar and engages in about 6.5 seconds of small talk before hitting on her again. There is still no indication from either of them that this shit started days ago. Oh, double ups. Shooting shit out of order so no one knows what anyone feels about anything. He would like Megan to come see her when everyone else has left. She graciously tries to play it off like he's just drunk and doesn't mean it, but clip 17.
No. You will be here, Megan, if you want Coop to get this appointment. Anyway, with your past, I can't believe this is that big a deal.
What do you mean, my past?
Well, the fact that you were a prostitute, of course. I'll see you tonight.
Michael said she still was. Why is this all in the past? Like, how many independent rooms of writers not talking to each other made this show? I would love to know.
I don't know. Like, this cannot be the first time that she has confronted something gross like this. Mm-hmm. But also, it would really help if we cared about this character. Like, I'm trying to think who else this could be befalling. Mm-hmm. Where I would, like, I took no notes on this whole subplot. Mm-hmm. I just don't, like, I've seen TV before. I know how it's gonna go, and I don't care about Coop and Megan.
No, she sucks.
Like, kill him, throw him in the kill, and then, like, be in Philadelphia in a spinoff that we don't have to watch. It's fine.
Yeah.
Do whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could believe. Spoiler, we can't. Back in L.A., no. Peter's unloading to Dr. Visconti about all his problems, which we know. Dr. Visconti prescribes time away to clear his head. Peter thinks that means drinking and gambling in Pebble Beach with the guys. Which guys? You have friends? Are they the same off-screen friends as Billy has? Is Billy one of them?
I hope not, for Peter's sake.
Yeah, but no, Dr. Visconti wants Peter to go to Dr. Visconti's cabin in the woods where there is no phone, TV, or golf, and a couple of days there might straighten out all Peter's problems, and if it doesn't, there's always electroshock therapy. Is this therapy? Like, is this guy a psychiatrist like Peter's a psychiatrist, which is to say, not?
I know. Like, it would be really funny if Peter left and then the next patient, like, Dr. Visconti sets up the eye chart. And it's like, okay, back to work.
Back to Philadelphia, where Megan does return to Larner's after the party, but just to tell him she is not a sex worker. But he knows everything about her. Clip 18.
And believe me, if you feel it's necessary, I can provide police records, names of your clients.
Why are you doing this?
I have needs, Megan. Just like you. You need to see your boyfriend get this job. Come on. You shouldn't be ashamed of what you are. History and literature are replete with beautiful women like yourself, sacrificing themselves for the sake of the men they love. It's really rather romantic when you think about it. Now, why don't you take off this coat and we'll discuss it further. I'm really a very gentle lover. Oh, damn it. It's my wife. She wasn't due home until tomorrow. So, you're going to have to go out the back.
You know what? I think I might stay. You know, she might enjoy it.
No, out now.
Okay. How could he possibly have police records or clients' names? Like, is it that hard to find a woman to pressure into fucking you that you have to hire a private investigator to, like, get this stuff?
Yeah. Or, I don't know, just go find a sex worker who's currently employed in this profession and
yeah.
take care of your needs that way?
Mm-hmm.
Or is being a blackmailing twat the point? I think it probably is. Whatever.
Perhaps.
And I just really wanted Megan. Like, I would have been completely turned around on Megan if she had just, like, Spider-Maned herself into the doorway and been like, no, I really would love to meet your wife. But
yes.
This is not, alas, the direction in which it ends up going.
Well, not yet. So, for now, his panic about his wife's early return seems to give Megan an idea. Back to L.A., where Taylor's made Kyle a fancy dinner at her place because she has something important to tell him. Clip 19.
I'm pregnant. For real.
Okay. He always thought she was pregnant for real. She and Michael faked
yeah.
like she lost the baby falling down the stairs and he never found out otherwise, right? Like, I truly don't remember. It's so late in the season. 1 billion things have happened. I truly
yeah,
don't remember, but I think I'm right.
I think you might be right, but I think it might be one of those things where we were given to understand that off screen, she was like, so yeah, psych. And then he like came to grips with that. But there may have been references earlier in the season to like, I'm not going back to look it up. I'm so
no.
sorry, listeners. And mm-mm. I don't think Tara should do it either, although she might.
No, I'm not.
She's very conscientious, but I hope she will practice self-care and avoid doing so. But I really do think that this is one of the many things this season where they're like, this happened off screen, and we're just going to act as if going forward. Like,
right.
I mean, on the one hand, I respect it. It's like a shark. It's got to keep moving. But on the other hand, are we taking crazy pills? Like, those of us who have to think about the show for a living are like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, Kyle is totally calm as Taylor says she knows for sure that it's his, and he guesses that lip bite the other night wasn't an accident. Clip 20.
I hope you're not angry.
To be honest, I've never felt closer to you in all the years of our marriage than I do right now. I mean, Taylor, your honesty, your ability to just push the past aside and come clean. If nothing else, proves that you and I can tell each other absolutely anything.
So you're happy about the baby?
I'm thrilled. I am thrilled. Come here. Now, I'm going to make you a promise. When my divorce with Amanda comes through, you and I are going to be a family. And I mean, we're going to be a real family. A mother, father, and their child.
I love you, baby.
I love you, too. Thunder. It's a bad omen. I should get going before this gets sued.
Did you mean what you said? I mean, the love part?
With all my heart.
I mean, he's playing it well.
Yeah.
It's not hard to trick her because she's hearing what she wants.
Mm-hmm. They could stand to pick up the pace, but as with all things, not happening.
No. So the next day, Coop and Megan are at another reception at Larner's place. And this time...
What? Is this actually a bartending school? It's all cocktail parties.
This time, Megan does not have amnesia and actually looks as tense and secretive about everything as she should have been this whole time. Coop actually notices and she lies that she's just nervous for him. But Coop needs to stay in Larner's good graces, which, you know, no problem. And then Larner comes over to get rid of Coop with a schmoozing assignment so that he can hit on Megan some more. He gives her a time and place to meet him the next night while Coop is in a meeting. And Megan is about to tell Larner off when Coop returns, and then they have to act normal again. And then we get a repeat of the B-roll outside the agency with the same woman in the same outfit and lady spats that was in the visual aids last time. For
she's like the Cedars-Sinai waiting room lady of Melrose Place.
She totally is. Oh my God, I forgot about that. That's so funny. So then we head inside as Rory, who has never looked more like a gigolo in like an unbuttoned, untucked shirt, comes to bother Amanda. She can't leave for lunch, but she'll see him that night at the jazz club. And when she's gone, Rory lets himself into her office and has to narrate that he is about to snoop on her computer because it's the past. And I guess people didn't know that was something that a character like him would automatically do in this situation. But this is his lucky day because Amanda's beautiful and rich. She's also now stuck in a meeting with Billy and Lexi, working on the Sterling Conway account, which must be a challenge for its ad agency because we still do not know what Sterling Conway does other than pharmaceuticals, apparently. And we're not going to find out in this scene because Michael bursts in trying to track down Peter. Lexi says Michael is the last person Peter would want to see before just going ahead and telling him where he is, and Michael takes off. And Amanda steps out just in time to hear Michael on the phone in the bullpen telling Taylor it's too soon for the baby to be causing her backaches, which, like, not by what we've seen at this point. That bump is bumping. He also tells her to quit abusing his beeper before turning to see Amanda heard everything and is waiting for an explanation. So Michael lies that Kyle's the father and that he figures Kyle would have told Amanda by now. Over to Kyle's, where Amanda's overjoyed to show up with Rory and, it seems, already a couple of drinks in her to congratulate Kyle on his imminent fatherhood. Clip 21.
Kyle here is going to be a daddy. Isn't that great?
Oh, hey, Pop, congrats.
Listen to me. I don't know if you've heard what happened.
I'm well aware of how it happens. Oh, and here comes the little mother now. Taylor, you are positively glowing.
Amanda, hello.
I'm sure you'll be wonderful parents. You're both such positive role models. And don't worry, I'll keep my distance from both of you. After all, being around me doesn't seem to be healthy to your loved ones.
Amanda, don't do this.
Don't worry. You don't have to put up with it anymore.
Yeah. At least she's acting like someone would act if they got that gossip and not sitting on it for days.
Yeah, it's true.
The next morning, Peter is doing some fly fishing when he hooks Michael. Peter mutters that Michael's hallucination as Michael untangles himself and says he's come with good news. When Peter refuses to engage, Michael pulls out some piece of blue back paper he claims is the lawsuit and tears it up, saying he's dropping it with no conditions if Peter will just take him back. I don't think that's how lawsuits work, but sure. Regardless, Peter's not interested in that condition, which it is, despite Michael saying no conditions. And he also scolds Michael for littering in a national forest. In Philadelphia, Larner gets home to find Megan having tea with his wife, Nora. She is played by Rebecca Balding, who was also David's landlady when he disastrously owned the Peach Pit after dark. Nora asks if the committee made a hiring decision, and Larner says he can't tell her anything in front of Megan, whom he then walks to the door to determine that she didn't spill. He tries to walk back his sexual extortion, but she's like, "You are gross and sick, and if you push me, I will ruin your life." Back to the woods, Peter and Michael are on hour 3 of wandering around lost in the dark. When they stop, they realize they can hear the creek and have ended up back where Michael dropped the ripped up paperwork, and now coyotes are out, so they decide to make camp for now. Michael suggests burning the papers, symbolizing how they're rekindling their friendship. Michael's going to make everything up to Peter, starting by producing a flask of booze. Peter says things can't get worse. So it starts to rain because they're on television. The next morning, the doctors don't really look like they were rained on at all as Peter wakes up moments before Michael flops an arm over him and calls him Megan, leading Peter to gay panic away from him. Blah, blah, blah. Peter starts bitching about everything again and warns that he might have another rage epilepsy attack right before tripping and falling down a hill, ripping a ligament in his knee. More slapstick for these two. We love a comedy plot for Peter and Michael. Not mad at any of this, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Me neither. It's absolutely ridiculously dumb and also the best thing in the episode.
Yep. Back at the agency, Rory has found a way to insinuate himself into the campaign for Lexi's fake company, and Amanda calls him into the conference room to present his idea. Clip 22.
Statistically, most investors are, there's no politically correct term for this, men. Now, the question is, how do we get them to put their money into Sterling Conway? And the answer is, we show them Lexi's most appealing assets.
Oh, so you're talking about sex appeal now.
Lexi is everything that a man looks for in a woman. Rich, sexy, smart, sexy. Okay, now imagine her draped over a boardroom table, smiling seductively, above a logo that reads simply, a Sterling investment. What investor wouldn't want to put himself in her hands?
Excuse me, that is the most sexist, inane...
Sam, don't start.
Come on, this is stupid and it's insulting. Lexi, you want to be taken seriously?
I don't like this attitude from either of you.
No, wait, just hold it. Sam is right. That is crass as hell, and I am not going to stoop to some cheesecake pictures of me to market a company that is already well established. Huh? But Daddy always said that I could sell ice to an Eskimo. Rory, you are a sexist pig. But I actually like your idea. Perhaps we can come up with a classier version.
What could be classier than that? Okay, this is a financial services company now? What?
With the sideline in pharmaceuticals and business. Also, nobody would want to put themselves literally in her hands because she has those dragon lady length Lee press-ons going that are not polished. They're kind of gross. My eye goes right to them every time she's on screen. And I'm like, oh, could you please take like half an inch off those? I'm scared. How do you handle a pen?
Ridiculous. But the fact that it hinges on the idea that she's the best at what she does when three episodes ago she was trying to launch a fake interior design company. It's like,
To distract herself from the difficulty of detoxing.
Yeah.
From a substance misuse disorder.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which... she's now also the figurehead for the company when she's not even, like, at the head office, which is still in Cleveland, from what we were told.
Mm-hmm. And if she's in pharmaceuticals, is that a great idea for someone?
Right.
With her medical history?
Yeah, I think they just mean, like, they think pharmaceutical just means medicine stuff, and it doesn't. It means drugs. But no one was there to make these edits, so...
There's a joke here about the Suckler family, but I guess that was the joke. Moving on.
Speaking of poorly handled medical stories, back in Philadelphia, Megan and Coop are doing the residential version of making a sign for your business before you have one customer, shopping for a house before anyone's offered you a job. Because if he got it, it happened off screen. We didn't see it. And considering it was like the linchpin for this whole plot line, seems like that's something we would have seen if it had happened. But whatever. Clip 23.
What is it? Something wrong?
No, I think it's perfect for you. I mean, for us.
Yeah, it is, almost. I love you, Megan. And I need to be with you always. Will you marry me?
And then pretend to be asleep?
Yes.
It is nice. I mean, there's a lid for every pot, and for this guy, it's a woman who seems asleep even when she's awake.
And everyone around her is also asleep because you're both extremely boring.
Yep.
Plan a destination wedding. Don't come back.
So... it took Michael the entire day to fashion a stretcher because when we return to the woods, it's dark and Michael's trying to drag Peter up the hill while also trying to work him about returning to the practice. Peter says if he lives, he'll consider it. And when they get to the top of the ridge, Michael looks over his shoulder and sees a 24-hour diner with a liquor license, by the way. They somehow never noticed when they were sleeping right next to it, but... since Peter doesn't know it's there, clip 24.
Of course, tonight is the make or break night. I mean, we got no map and no food and it's getting colder. Oh, I'm gonna have to dig down really deep to get through this one.
Listen, Michael, if you need to leave me behind, I understand.
Oh, no, 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 no way, pal. We're gonna get through this together, no matter how bleak things look. Just promise me this. The minute I can stick a big, juicy, hot hamburger in one of your hands and a cold brewski in the other, well, then you'll give me another shot.
Oh, if you could do that, I'd kiss you full on the lips and I'd cover our office rent for a year.
Yeah? Well, then pucker up, big boy. You just got your old partner back.
Kiss! Kiss! Show us the kiss. We want to see.
Uh-huh. There's really nothing better you could be showing us.
No.
Honestly.
Certainly not. Out at some bar in Philadelphia, Coop thanking Larner for all his support. Larner is sure Coop will return the favor someday. Obviously, he would like to know where Megan is. Coop says she's at the house. Larner knows the place they're renting and vaguely refers to its history, adding that Megan will warm it up, you know, with her history. Coop can't figure out what Larner means by that because some other doctor interrupts to congratulate Coop and ask him to one of his lectures, which is the closest we've come to learning Coop actually has been offered this fucking job.
Yeah, what the... whatever. Fine. Moving along.
We're so close to the end. Content warning for sexual assault in this scene. At the house, Megan is setting up a picnic by the fireplace when Larner bursts in and attacks her. She's screaming and fighting him off when Coop enters and pulls Larner off and her. Coop is going to be sorry for that. So is his little whore, says Larner. And Coop says, clip 25.
Get out of here!
Okay. This is like a teenage boy playing an angry dad in a school play. Like, it's so not convincing from Lyndon Ashby at all.
I know. Bless. He tried, though.
He did try. Larner does get out of here! And Coop and Megan hug and cry. And the next day...
She was good in the scene, I thought.
She was good. She was good. The next day, Megan's waiting outside an academic building when Nora asks to join her and comments that it must be hard for Megan to sit out here alone while her fiancé's inside fighting to keep his dreams alive. Clip 26.
Coop shouldn't have to fight for anything. He's the best candidate for the job. And if it wasn't for your...
My husband.
Look, Mrs. Larner, I'm sorry about all this. I would never intentionally hurt you, but your husband... He did attack me.
I know. It's a kind of seasonal rite of passage for him.
Excuse me?
Oh, you're not the first hot ticket George has propositioned. But then, men will be men, que sera, sera.
So it doesn't bother you that your husband came on to me?
He tried to rape her.
Yeah,
use the words.
That's not coming on to her. But whatever, Nora goes on to say her husband's family built this whole campus, and right now Coop is inside being asked to choose between the job and Megan, and Nora doesn't like Megan's chances. At Kyle's, Taylor steals up behind Kyle and coos that the last few days have been the happiest of her life. Coldly, Kyle says he's happy she's happy. He just can't stop thinking about Christine, because if not for him, she would still be alive. Taylor tells him to stop blaming himself and start blaming Amanda, basically. But Kyle doesn't think he can ever be happy in a relationship again, despite all of the we're going to be a family, a real family, blah, 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 from their last scene we saw. But this finally guilts Taylor into saying she has something to tell him. And his face when she says this is eager while trying to remain low-key in a very funny way from Bra Besties. But he encourages Taylor to say whatever it is. Nothing can tear them apart now. That's when Amanda bustles in, and clip 27.
Sorry to interrupt you two lovebirds, but I'm kind of in a hurry, so if you'll sign right there, I'll be out of your hair for good.
What is this?
Divorce papers. One of those clicky jobs in the Dominican Republic. You remember how that works, don't you?
No, I'm not going to sign anything until I talk to my lawyer.
Like there's anything to talk about.
Kyle, you should sign your name. And tomorrow we can go down to City Hall and you can sign your name on a marriage license.
Oh, a shotgun wedding. How nice for the two of you. And your love child.
Amanda, you're making a big mistake.
No, she's not, for once in her life.
I'm telling you, you don't want to do this.
She sure as hell does, and why would you want to stop her?
How do you argue with that? Just sign. I've got to get to the airport.
Trust me, baby, it's the right thing to do. Come on, do it.
Maybe we should synchronize our watches. 48 hours from now, we'll be free of each other for good.
Amanda.
Goodbye.
Oh, it couldn't be more perfect. Now nothing is standing in the way of our happiness.
Well, okay, sure, I guess.
I mean, of all people who should know not to jinx this shit, but sure.
Cut to some ancient B-roll as Rory's voice tells someone he's meeting Amanda at the airport. He's on his way to the Caribbean to land a cash cow. If things don't go his way, Amanda's going to have a little accident. He is saying this on his cell phone in the back of a cab, by the way. Like, if anything does happen, this cabbie might be a witness.
Yeah. Also, if things don't go your way, why do you have to kill her?
Yeah.
Like, I know we're on a soap and you're a sleazeball, but you could just be a sleazeball. You don't have to be a murderous sleazeball.
Go sleaze Lexi. She was kind of seemed like she was into it, actually.
Yeah.
Back to fucking Philadelphia as Coop comes back to the house. Megan comes down the stairs with her suitcase, bravely saying she is making his decision easier. If not for her, as she puts it, colorful past, Coop would have a lock on the appointment. And based on what Nora said, Larner probably would have hit on Megan if she was a CPA, by the way. But anyway, Megan tells Coop she's getting out of his life for his own sake because her past is going to keep him from every opportunity that comes his way. So she's going home. Clip 28.
What am I supposed to do? I mean, now that I told those hypocritical old jerks to take their job and shove it.
You did?
I did. And you should have seen the look on their faces. They're going to be talking about this for years.
What's wrong? This is a good thing. Why are you crying?
Because you know why.
Listen. Give me this. I love you. And I will never, never sacrifice our life together for anybody. Anything.
This is so cruel. We were so close. Like, they really seemed like they were almost the entire way out of the door. They had another house.
You remember Brandon screaming in Susan's face, "You took the job?" It's us screaming in Coop's face, yes. "You didn't take the job?"
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So then Kyle's in his office stewing when Jennifer storms in yelling at him for signing the divorce papers. He explains that he had to since Taylor was standing right there and she is very close to confessing. But Jennifer asks if that's worth making Amanda think Kyle doesn't love her. But getting Taylor is the only way for Kyle to get Amanda back, he thinks. And he has 48 hours and nothing will stand in his way. And then we're on the plane. Amanda and Rory are drinking. After Amanda officially dumps Kyle, she should marry Rory in the Dominican because they're two of a kind. They both love money and hate people, and he doesn't care that she thinks he's trash. So what does she have to lose? And Amanda agrees because she certainly can't do any better. And that's the end of the season. Like, okay. I kind of don't think it was always meant to be here. This episode aired in March and it's only 26. It's episode 26 when all the rest have been like 30 plus seasons long other than season one.
Uh-huh.
And the next season is like close to, I'm sorry to tell you this, Sarah, close to 40 episodes. So I think they borrowed like some episodes that were planned to be the end of season six for that and made it extra long. But I've tried to find out proof of that. Like, what Fox would have had going on that would have preempted it or something. Like, it's not like it was the Olympics, you know? Like, I have no idea why this happened, but it did. Yeah. And here we are, officially at the end of season six, or so they tell us. So first, let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Oh, my God. So hard. They're all such knobs. I'm going to say Michael. He, other than finding out he was the daddy, he got everything else he wanted. Mm-hmm. And he got a nice burger after a day of being starved. So that's going to taste great.
I mean, I guess Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with what she wants, but she seems close to getting it. Mm-hmm. And she was totally my hero for bracing Sam in the bathroom. So I'm going to say Jennifer.
Nice. least valuable player. Dr. Larner, the attempted rapist.
Yeah, it's really not close.
No, it's not. Now let us do our season MVP.
Peter?
Yeah. All right. I mean, he got back with Lexi, but overall.
Yeah. But he also realized at the end of the season that he's like, oh, right, I'm not over Amanda. Like, well, no shit, dude. Mm-hmm. Who would be?
Yeah.
Jack Wagner, like, just making the best of every scene he's in. So, yeah, I gotta say Peter.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. This is gonna seem wrong, but, you know, Craig, he got out. And he got out when the getting was good.
Even though he didn't
last to the end of the season, I'm gonna say Craig.
Went to be a pop star international. So, good for you, Sharves.
We. Our season LVP. Coop. I'm so sick of him. And dangling the possibility of him leaving the show only to snatch it back is, I've said cruel and I'm going to say it again. I hate it.
Yeah. Sam.
Yeah. Also fair.
Get on the bat rack and get rolling. I don't know what that means. Who cares? We're done. Next time on Again With This, it's the Decision 23 call-in special. What do your fellow listeners want us to cover after we're done with Melrose? Stay tuned for potential answers to that question and a bunch of others. In the meantime, check out our visual aids, which you'll find for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. Join us on Patreon for dozens and dozens and dozens of bonus episodes. And if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about Garth and Spelling Cast 902 and OMG instead of listening to it yourselves, which do not do that ever.
Nope.
Do this again with thispodcast.com/club. I'm asinine dugout chatterer Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is classier version Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer David T. Cole is also not the father. Talk to you next time.
Get out of here!
I saw you save it. I knew you were doing it.